innocence.
Blessed are the holy innocents. Blessed are the holy innocents. I never broke your windows. I never broke your rules. I never took to your tender vendetta. Didn't touch your family jewels. Revenge is a strong emotion. Friction is the mother of pearl. It's a disapproving, disappointing, disappearing world.
All right, let's leave John Cooper Clarke, The Innocents. And I'd like to introduce on the phone Magic. Are you there, Magic?
Yes. Hi, Arnold.
Oh, great. Well, Magic, you know, obviously you're in the paper this last week, famously being manacled and taken away.
Yes, indeed.
That was a lot of fun. We'll get to that in a little bit. Now, what got you to be a political activist?
Well, you know, that's a very good question, because I feel like every one of us can be activated, and that this is a time that we need to respond to things that activate us. You know, things that come to you right in your face and that you can't avoid or you can't stop thinking about are what wake you up, and that's what woke me up at a very young age. The Vietnam War, unfair housing. These are all things that I couldn't stop thinking about when I heard about them. And so I did something, and I got out there, and I joined other people, and I responded. And, you know, everyone isn't going to be an activist like somebody who marches in the streets or goes to meetings and speaks, but everyone right now on planet Earth needs to respond to things that they care about most and do something to preserve them.
An excellent point. We all have our own interests, and we really need to work on them and bring them out. That's true. And there's so many different issues out there.
Like, you know, there's that don't sit, don't lie ordinance that just got passed in San Francisco to try to stop homeless people from lying down when they need to rest.
Right.
And, you know, it's a crime to be homeless in America.
Yep.
So one day I was walking down the street, and there was a young girl and her parents. She was 9 years old, and they had a little table out, and they had some lemonade and cookies, and I felt something was going on. So I said to my daughter, "Let's go over there." And what they were doing was demonstrating that the "Don't Sit, Don't Lie" ordinance would also not allow them to have a lemonade stand like they had. And this young girl, I said, "Oh, this is great. I'd love to support you, and I'm working against that ordinance myself." And this young girl, 9 years old, said, "I'm an activist, too."
Mm.
And she'd been activated because she had heard about this, and she just thought it was wrong, and she wanted to show, "I can have a lemonade stand." Now, I thought that was a really creative way of, you know, responding to something that affected her directly.
Yes, in such a simple, all-American way.
Yeah, in a fun way, in a way that people could respond to easily.
Mm-hmm. I know, you know, it's interesting. The kids, I think, with the internet and the web, something's happening with them. I know last week I was speaking with Marla Patti on the About Stop Crush videos, you know, those awful videos, and they just got the law passed in Congress to stop them again.
What are they? Stop Crush? I don't know what
Crush. Crush. These awful videos that show animals being mutilated and tortured, and the Supreme Court threw it out in May.
Wow.
Because the NRA didn't like it, because it would interfere with hunting films.
Oh.
And so they became open. So a group started Stop Crush to stop the to bring back the law, and it just passed last week. And anyways, the thing that Marla was saying was that the main effort, the people who got behind them, were kids. They just took it on themselves, you know, like she told one, you know, 10-year-old came out of his room, and his dad said, "Oh, what you've been doing, playing on your computer?" "No, sending a letter to my senator about crush videos." "What?"
Excellent.
So maybe there's something out there. There's something stirring in the land.
Yeah, I think so. There, I saw a video, and the internet is so helpful in spreading these things around quickly. A teacher was fired because he defended a gay student in his class from someone who was harassing that student. student.
Oh my goodness.
And it was in front of the board that people were speaking, and this 12-year-old boy came up and said, "I have contemplated suicide because I am gay. People are doing that because they're gay and they're being harassed. And this teacher stood up for us, and I want you to stand up for him." And he was so articulate. And I do think that the young are responding to what's happening in the world and finding their voice.
Yeah. How powerful that must have been.
Yeah, really.
Whew. Incredible. And now you yourself, you're on the front lines. I mean, you really do put yourself against the wheels. What was that phrase Mario Savio said?
Throw yourself on the wheels of the machine.
Wheels of the machine, yeah.
I hope I don't get, go too far in there.
Yeah.
But, I've been in Sonoma County an activist for over 15 years. And, again, being called to things. Like, one thing that really speaks to me is the water. And I've done a lot of work around the Laguna de Santa Rosa and trying to preserve it and to prevent development near it and prevent pesticides from polluting it and the destruction of riparian zones. And I've done a lot of work there, and that takes you in a lot of different directions. One of the big problems in Sonoma County is the amount of vineyards that we now have. Mm. Monoculture is abhorrent to nature and is very dangerous even economically. And at the board meeting the other day, one of the three things that they pushed through was a frost ordinance to try to give more water and allowances to the wineries when they have frost to protect them from loss. Now, farmers throughout time, this is something I said there, have expected 5 or 10% loss. That's all they expect if they didn't have this.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if there's certain parts of your grapes that are in a frost zone, maybe you need to not have grapes there. and maybe you need to realize that 1 million steelhead and salmon died last year because of the extraction of water from the Russian River and its tributaries.
Mm.
And that is a signal for all of us. If the salmon don't come back, that water is not healthy for anybody.
Yeah, that's serious. I mean, now we've got suddenly lots of water and everything's overflowing, it can sometimes go on a back burner. But, how do we keep people's realizing, it's still a major issue?
Well, I think one of the most important things is that we need to not just think of these things cerebrally. We need to walk in nature. We need to connect to nature. We need to really, like the native people, indigenous people of almost every land, realize that we don't actually own the land.
Mm-hmm.
And, people always talk about logic and, those crazy environmentalists, but they're, where's their logic? Well, what is the logic of thinking you own a place that was here before you came and will be here after you've gone? What is the logic in that?
It sounds like arrogance to me.
Yes, absolutely. I do my work, and I have done it since I was 11 years old, and I can continue to do it because I have a profound faith in life. I have a faith in something I can see, I can touch, I can smell, I can celebrate, I can enjoy. It's beautiful, delicious, dangerous, mysterious. There's no end to exploring the beauty of this world, and that is what I invest my spirituality in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I give my strength, and what I see from life is going to keep going. It's whether we know how to keep us as a resilient part of that.
Right.
Now, I just want to say that some people go in that thought from, well, we won't exist anymore, and, so if that'll be okay, life will go on. But I don't agree, because we are part of life, and we're a beautiful part of life. We're creative. We're really good at celebrating. We're really good at appreciating. We're really good at artistically expressing ourselves in this world, articulation, art, curiosity, science. And we're a part of this. We're a conscious awareness of this. And so, I'm not in for cashing in on the human race either.
There's hope left.
Yes, I absolutely believe that.
Oh, wonderful. Well, that's it. Again, it's looking at it holistically, isn't it? Always. We can't look at it in those little compartments that the mechanistic society wants us to do.
Exactly.
That's what they rely on us to not see.
Yeah, and they also do everything they can in public arenas to suck the feeling of the heart out of the room. And just get down to ways that they can manipulate laws and regulations and rules and bureaucratic doublespeak to pass through things that if anyone were being heard who is speaking from their heart, it would not happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know the poet Jeff Robinson Jeffers.
Yeah, I know the name, yes. Yeah.
He had a collection of poetry called Not Man Apart. And he wrote a poem called Shine, Perishing Republic that was about America, you know, but that, you know, everything gets composted and gets reborn. And so, too, will this capitalist society get composted. And out of it is coming. And right, bubbling all over the surface is ways to deal with all of the problems we have and ways to work together. I mean, fungi and bacteria and mushrooms can eat almost every kind of pollutant, including nuclear waste that we've created. The solutions are there. The only solution that hasn't been, that has to shift so all those can come up, is our relationship to each other and the earth.
Mm.
And that's where change has to happen. And that's why I go to these public arenas and speak from my heart. And that's why I have the courage to stand up for our communities, because I want the relationship between each other and the earth to change. And when these arenas are allowed to be not democratic and are allowed to be dry and cold, like one of my issues and one of the things I brought up the day I got arrested, which was the first comment I made when I interjected, is that they keep saying you can't applaud.
Oh, yeah.
And that's only, though, you can't applaud when there's a controversial issue, which most of the people are against what they're going to do, and they don't want to have energy build in a room. Now, I believe First Amendment rights include applause and even groans when something is so obscenely wrong that people, these are visceral responses that are part of the human expression, and they don't want that. But, you know, it's not fair to arbitrarily say you can't applaud when the whole morning they've been applauding each other and stroking each other in the back. Because two of the supervisors that have done the most damage to this county than probably to any two other individuals were leaving that day, and this is their last chance to wreak havoc on this county. And that's exactly what the Board of Supervisors did all day after their little fest of cookies and milk, in which they made people wait who wasn't on the agenda to do this, made people wait 2 hours while they laughed and joked and stroked themselves on the, you know.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
That sounds very heartless, yeah.
Yeah, it was, and they were applauding each other, you know, but then as soon as we want to speak, oh, no applause, no emotion, no feeling, let's tamp it down.
Yeah.
And I have, you know, I've been told at meetings all over the county, I've been told, you know, the whole general assembly, not just me personally, do not laugh, do not, applaud, do not boo, do not raise an eyebrow. Now, I believe that somebody who's holding a meeting needs to keep the decorum respectful.
Right.
I want to be clear about that. But I don't think that there has to be a preemptive strike to tell people in a condescending way, like we're naughty children, how to behave in a public meeting. And if something happens that they need to deal with, they can deal with it, and they should. And they should speak up and say, you know, let's be respectful of each other. I know people feel things strongly today. I understand that. This would be a nice way to say it. Not, if you applaud, I'll take 1 minute off your time to speak. That's what they said.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was the, so if you decide to applaud, then instead of 3 minutes to speak, everyone will get two, which is a way to try to turn people against me also. So that, because I spoke up for applaud, although it didn't work, but
they can hide. You know, I mean, that's it. I mean, you know, there is that careful balance between intimidating people who don't agree with you. You know, if there's, I suppose there's that side to it. But I agree. I mean, if everyone's sitting there mute, how do they know what people are thinking?
You know? Right. And you know, sometimes I think that, like, you know, for example, if some terrible project is coming into your town, which I've seen happen over and over again, and everybody in the town doesn't want it, and they're all sitting there the first time it's suggested, and everybody's like, "You've got to be kidding!" and they're like booing and like saying, this is ridiculous. I mean, you see, that's kind of a tribal response that wouldn't have allowed it to intellectually be extracted into these, you know, realms of cerebral, you know, vacuousness, right, which is where they take it and then rationalize it, you know. And so there's a need to find the feeling of the community and acknowledge it. You know, for example, this Dutra plant that they approved the other day. You know, after these people won, and the entire community of Petaluma, 3,000 signatures, the unanimous decision of the Petaluma City Council, every candidate that was running for Petaluma office and the Board of Supervisors opposing this plant, five other city councils, unprecedented in Sonoma County, supporting Petaluma in opposing this plant. And when they win the decision, they say, we look forward to working with the community on this. I mean, you know, like, you've got to be kidding.
Hello? Yeah.
Because if you want to work, we gave you the door. We gave you the broom. We're like, go.
Yeah.
And they, but that's just what they're taught to say, PR, you know.
Well, it's like, we're speaking to Magic, a political activist from Sonoma County, and I know when I first came up to Sebastopol, a fine example was that was the Northeast plan. I went to loads of meetings, and at every single meeting, and all the meetings when I spoke to people, meetings I hadn't been to, people all said, you know, 95% to 5 people didn't want it, but yet it still went on. It was this strange inertia that just kept on moving, or, you know, backroom deals or whatever it is.
Exactly. But we did win that one.
Yes.
I spent 5 years on that project.
Oh, my goodness.
Hundreds of meetings, both public meetings and our organizational meetings. We printed newspapers. We went door to door. We made phone calls. We wrote letters to the editor. I wrote many articles about it, you know. And, you know, we were disdained by the people that lost, and I think that we did everything you can do to be a democratic participant in your community.
Yep.
And as you saw, there were those meetings got up to hundreds of people at the meetings.
Oh yeah.
You know, and then the five people that would be speaking for it had some invested interest in it if they were going to speak for it, you know.
Right.
And, you know, an interesting side note to that is Barney Aldridge, who is the main landowner in the Northeast area, thanked me this year for opposing it, because he said, I don't know how I'd be selling 350 market rate condos right now. And a lot of people think that, you know, therefore the economy downturn would have stopped it. But no, it, 5 years ago, if it had started then, we would have been in the midst of it. This big tax burden, because we'd have to have had, you know, all of these police and fire and water and
utilities,
everything, all of the level of service ready for that, and they wouldn't be selling.
Right, it'd be left just half finished.
So that was a really exciting and wonderful people. And you know, one thing I love, and I encourage everyone to come to public meetings, is the beauty of watching your fellow citizens articulate their concerns. And everyone has a different way of looking at it, and a different thing they're concerned about, and a different way of expressing it. And this community is full of people that care and are articulate and beautiful. And, you know, that day, I spoke 4 times before I got arrested. And I spoke actually at times that I was intended to speak and, you know, was quote unquote allowed to speak. Although I don't believe that they have the power. I think we do.
Yeah.
they're public servants, last I recall.
Exactly.
But I lost my train of thought there.
Well, explain what the Dutra, you know, what that decision was, and what supervisors and what they said. You know, who went on one side, and who name names. You
right.
know, what happened?
It's interesting that you ask what they said, because they didn't say anything.
Oh.
They just voted, and that's what they did on every single issue that day. They didn't say anything, and they switched up who was going to be the one person of the three that are supposed to be more environmentally conscious, who was going to go with the two that they knew how they were going to vote. So they switched it up, which I called them on. I said, like, you know, just because you guys choose who's going to be the bad guy with the other two bad guys doesn't mean we don't know that all of you are allowing this to happen. Because at one point I said, you know, if you two are opposing this, then tell us why. Fight for us. use your critical thinking, passionately debate with your fellow board members. Say, well, I believe this. Why are you voting that way? Why are you planning on supporting this? Speak. But they didn't. Not a word from any of them. They just voted these things through. So let me go back to the Dutra thing.
Yeah.
All right. So there's a park across from the site where the proposed Dutra plant is going to be. And I continue by the way, say proposed because I don't ever think anything's a done deal. And there is a plant lawsuit here. There's many people that are already pledging their money. Of course, you know, we're tired of this. We always have to go to the courts these days to win. So there's this beautiful park called Schoenberger Park, which is the biggest salt marsh in the lower 48 states. It has become, for 10 years now, has become a rookery for egrets and falcons, and school children by the hundreds come there and experience this beauty and learn and have classes there. 150,000 visitors come every year. Right. It has become the premier natural place for people to go in Petaluma. And this will now be across from a, proposed idea of a asphalt plant belching pollution and trucks, hundreds of trucks at peak times, you know, running in and out of there with all of that blue smoke coming off, and our children breathing it, and the birds breathing it, and the baby birds that are trying to be born there. So it's an absolute disaster. Not only that, they had to change a part of the general plan to do this. Now, the general plan, if people don't know, is like the Constitution of the United States. The general plan is the county's constitution. And we just updated that a few years ago with thousands of people input, and this was not meant to be used for this purpose, this area. Okay, so we all had agreed on that already. It was a sacred trust between the board and the people, and they broke it on Tuesday.
Wow. So, yeah, it didn't matter to them. That was they just wanted it through, and that was it.
Because they were their contributions from Dutra in their campaigns, which we all know.
Right.
And, you know, things that are really hard to see is, like, there's this group called Moms for Clean Air. They're so worried about their kids and the park and everything. They formed. They weren't activists. They're moms. But this is a classic example. They're on their front steps. Here comes this asphalt plant. And they're like, no. And they tried everything. They had meetings with the supervisors. They did letters. They did raised money with, you know, sales of little things that they made to make it happen. They cared so much to stop this. And they had to see what I've been seeing for 15 years at this board, which is go ahead and try all of that. If we want to do something, we're going to do it anyway.
Exactly. I mean, you couldn't even think of almost a worse thing to put there. You know?
No, pretty much not, Arnold.
Incredible.
And, you know, not only that, but it's the entry to our county.
Right.
And so a lot that was supposed to be a scenic open area.
Yeah.
And that was also something they had to, you know, override. And this is the real topper. Dutra is such a bad actor that they were fined $735,000 for polluting the Farallon Islands, which is a preserve off the coast of San Francisco. They were had to pay a fine in Dade County, Florida, the biggest polluting case that Dade County has ever had, Dutra.
Oh, my goodness.
Marin, same thing. You know, these people are bad actors. You know, so it's just, I mean, money's just screaming as the only reason here because you can't figure out any other reason.
Yeah, there's no other side of the coin there.
No, you really know exactly. Well put.
Oh, my goodness. Interesting. And then the Roblar gravel quarry fell at the same time, didn't it?
It absolutely did. And that is right on a landfill, which I know a woman, a geologist from the Sebastopol Water Information Group, Jane Nielsen, who wrote a letter about that, because if they dig there, they're going to open the pollutants from that landfill that was never cleaned up. And the county has no right to do that without cleaning that landfill up, and now they're allowing a quarry in there. And then they're also breaking an agreement with the people around open space with an easement there that they're now overriding that. And the neighbor there who has cattle, she came up and spoke just before me, and she's like, if you change the way that easement is, I can't even have my dairy farm.
Wow.
So, and she was just one citizen saying, I can't believe this is happening. I mean, you just see the desperation on her face. It's her life. It's her family. And and they don't care. Just stone faces, stone faces, you know.
Yeah, this is what we want, and yeah, that's it.
And so one of the thing that I said that just before they handcuffed me is I went up as the last person in public comment, and this is after, you know, Roebler's already passed, the Frost Ordinance has already passed, and they're about to do Dutra. And so I said, you know, I just shook my head at them, and I said, you know, I just don't know what we're going to do about the lack of democracy in this room. And then I said, you know, but I do have one idea. I really think we need to move this podium, because I don't want my back to the people or anyone else's back only facing you. I want this to be open so everybody can see the speaker, so the people as well as the board.
Well, that's a good idea. I like that. Usually you don't see the people, everyone else. You're
right,
just facing
them. Especially since when you look at the board, they look at you with either boredom or disdain. It would be nice to look at some faces that are actually listening to you and care what you say. So at that point, Arnold, I walked over to the spot that I felt would be the perfect place.
And then
all hell broke loose, and people started yelling, you can't do that! You can't go there! You can't! And then I just walked a few feet across the room. You know, it was like, that's how Kafkaesque and restrictive they are. So the deputy swept up behind me, cuffed me, and I said, what, you know? And then I just started singing, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's standing by the water. I shall not be moved. And I can't sing very well, but I can sing with conviction and courage. And so, but, you know, I didn't resist him moving me, even though I said I shall not be moved. I wasn't doing a act of dropping down civil disobedience. For my principles, I shall not be moved from my principles. So then he escorted me out, and I was very concerned about my car getting towed. And so I stopped where my purse was and said, I need to get someone to take my belongings and get my keys so they can move my car. And so I was able to facilitate that, and then I was taken to the police car. And then he called to have somebody tell him what he was supposed to do. It's a little odd.
Oh, dear.
The thing that was very odd about the whole thing is why the board didn't just speak to me. Why didn't the chairman, Valerie Brown, just speak to me and not, you know, not immediately allow the deputy to just take over and do this in a public forum, you know.
Right.
People were in absolute shock.
I can imagine.
Everybody's calling me and emailing me and saying, thank you for your courage. You were symbolic for all of us. It was an absolute atrocity what happened that day. I mean, people were aghast, you know. A woman who, Brenda Edelman, who's a... Yeah, you know her, right?
Yeah.
She helped make the geysers happen. She's been a watchdog on the Russian River and the whole situation for 30 years. And after I spoke on the Roebler issue in the morning, she just couldn't take it anymore, and she went about after me, and she said, you know, you're all stroking each other on the back and congratulating each other and giving each other awards today, and I want to say that I wear it as a badge of honor that I have never gotten any awards from you people for 30 years. But she's environmentalist of the year in the environmental community and all kinds of other accolades for the incredible work that she does do.
Oh, amazing stuff, yeah. Hard stuff, you know, the real nitty-gritty, down into the numbers, you know, to the everything, every aspect.
Right, and usually that's what she speaks to, but she just couldn't, you know, she said, usually I just do that, and she said, but after you spoke magic, I couldn't help but get up there, and she said, you know, the things that you do for the environment are always little and piecemeal just to greenwash the situation. You're not really doing anything. And she was so clear and strong, and afterwards she said, you could hear a pin drop in that room, couldn't you, magic? I'm like, you certainly could.
Yeah.
So that's another example. There's so many people like Brenda, you know.
Yeah, Sonoma County, what an amazing place with so many bright people working so hard and trying to make a difference, yet there's still that, you know, the the other side is still so strong, and you turn your back for a minute and they will push through. You know, that
absolutely.
Seems, you know, that.
You know, I just wanted to also say happy solstice to everyone.
Oh, yes, indeed.
We're coming up on it on the 21st, and there will be a full moon eclipse. Good time to be able to look at the dark side and see what's going on. And the dark side isn't just negative, it's also the mystery, and to let us be in the mystery, to not have to know the answers. Like with I don't know how we're going to get all through this, but I have a profound faith, Arnold, that we will. And that I am born to live to see it happen. I have vowed to see the fall of patriarchy and the rising of people who love this earth and love this life and want to live it with appreciation and honoring.
And so, pride in it, yeah.
Yes, that's right. You know, so there is a, you know, the stories that in the, you know, earth-based communities that are told around this time is that this is the darkest hour. But no one can hold back the dawn, and that the mother is calling us home. That's the image of winter and the dark hour, and that the solstice is celebrated because we go to the darkest part of the year, and then the sun starts returning. And that's exactly where we are now. We're at the darkest point of humanity. There's really no putting it as like there was some other time like this, unless we're going to go back to like the dinosaur age or something. But like we are really, but. Even with that, I have faith because people, we are 11th hour creatures. We wait for the last minute.
Exactly.
And then we get it done. And I think we're going to get it done. But it's going to take an evolution of the way we treat each other and relate to each other so that all of the brilliant ideas that are waiting to arise can come to the surface. They're not going to come because we have the facts that are going to show that the planet is melting. Those facts are part of the story, but they are not enough to motivate us. We need to be motivated by our love of each other and life.
Right, exactly. And, you know, talking about the sun and energy, of course, in Sebastopol in Sonoma County, the whole smart meter thing.
There's another piece of work.
Another huge boondoggle there with whole other, you know, background things that it's really promulgating, that it's not really what they're saying, but it's a whole other thing that's coming down the pikes to us.
Yeah, a lot of my focus on that one, I've met with and gone to meetings and spoken about that as well, Arnold, has been a bit around the civil rights aspects of this. And because, first of all, I feel like that the monopoly is wrong and that they spent $44 million of their ratepayers' money to try to pass that proposition, as you recall, in the last election, to stop individual communities, cities, and counties from having their own power systems.
Right.
They lost that one, but, you know, they tried to do that against us, against the people. They tried to destroy Marin. They're still trying to destroy Marin for what it's doing.
Yeah, they don't care. You know, they just put their money and power against it, and, you know, they don't. A temporary setback is nothing to them, I suppose.
Right, and then the other civil rights issue around this is, you know, that the main guy, Bill Devereaux, in charge of the smart meter program, was spied on the EMF network.
Oh, right.
Yeah, did you hear that?
That's right. He had to resign or something?
Yeah, he had to resign because he actually signed up as Harry, I believe, and was infiltrating to try to find out what was going on and reporting back to the rest of the company. You know, how low will they go?
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, it's great. Like, you know, they will keep going until somebody says stop. Basically, that's the way. And look at the thing we're looking at right now with the WikiLeaks.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that beautiful? Exposure and just that whole thing that's happening, and people are standing up and supporting and keeping it going. I mean,
truth is freedom.
Yeah.
You know, we have to have the truth, and he's very brave. And did you hear what John Conyers said?
No.
He just spoke, I think it was yesterday, and he said that he is very concerned about what's happening because Julian Assange and WikiLeaks are revealing information that the people have the right to know, and he is appalled that senators and journalists and people in power are calling for his jailing and even for his murder.
Right.
People are asking for him to be killed. Those people should be held for asking. They're saying kill somebody.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, senators in the United States are asking for this man to be killed. He hasn't revealed anything that would threaten anybody's life. They're trying to say he's, you know, people's lives are going to be lost, you know.
Yeah.
You know, come on.
Yeah. And then on the other hand, oh, there's nothing really there. You know, they can't have it both ways.
Right.
You know, that's the thing.
Yeah. All right. That's good. There's nothing really there. You know, but did you hear about the pharmaceutical company that just said Pfizer?
No.
Well, this in Nigeria, Pfizer wanted to use this new antibiotic, and they wanted to test it quick. And they went to Nigeria and found these children that were sick and went into this clinic without any signed permission from the children or their parents, tested them, and many died and have defects and can't hear, can't see, are crippled, paralyzed, and this started to come out, and the Nigerian attorney general was suing them, and the WikiLeaks that came out is that they were trying to find the dirt on this guy to shut him up. So, you know, children's lives lost to make money off pharmaceuticals, and WikiLeaks revealed that.
Wow.
That's saving lives. That's trying to save lives in the future. That's not losing lives.
Well, yeah, as you say, you know, it's got to be out there. Otherwise, it's only going to fester and go bad, whatever it is, whatever they're hiding.
That's right. You know, if you know, I always like what Bob Dylan said, to live outside the law, you must be honest.
Interesting point. Yeah.
And that's what Julian Assange is, living outside of what they say is the law, where there's really no law that they can get him on, although apparently they are trying to set up charges to get him. He's concerned about not being extradited to Sweden, but extradited to here.
I bet. Oh, I wouldn't think much of his chances if they get their hands on him over here.
Well, I'd like to think that if they bring him here, that will wake up America. And maybe the internet generation will step out in the streets a few times, too.
Oh, maybe.
You know, because he's not going to give up. And I feel he's got the conviction and the strength that, you know, I mean, they'd like him dead, but if he's dead, they're dead.
Yeah.
So he's got the protection of that he is so, and also the New York Times, all these papers published him. They can't hold him responsible.
That's true.
It's just absurd. What are they going to do?
It's mighty silly, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, again, it's that they just keep trying to pull the wool over our eyes and everyone's eyes, and they hope for very short memories.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, that seems to be the thing, you know, play it out and everyone will forget.
So, you know, again, for anyone that's listening, I just really hope that a lot of people are saying, I just can't read the newspaper, I just can't do this. It's like, there's always something you can do. Like, for example, if you're walking down the street and, you know, you see someone, you know, beating their child, you can hold witness. You can say, "Are you, you know, having a hard day? Could I help?" Mm-hmm. You can, but you can't walk by that. That's what you can't do.
Right.
You know, you can't walk by when a policeman is roughing up a homeless person because they're sleeping. Why not hold witness there too? Officer, is there a problem? I've done this numerous times when police, you know, or, you know, if you need to write a letter or you need to gather a woman's circle and read a book and talk about, you know, what's happening in that book that reveals what's happening in the world, you know. But do something, please, people. I love that you all appreciate what I do, but I'm a catalyst. I can't do it for you. And if you're doing something, it can be myriad things, but you know if you're activated and you're responding, and or you know if you're feeling numb and you're avoiding it, and we can't do the numb now. Can't do it.
Yeah, there's no time for that anymore.
No.
Yeah.
No,
exactly right. Well, Magic, do you have any meetings coming up or anything people would like to know about?
Well, you know, I'm basically mulling over what's going to be my next steps here, and I'm, you know, looking at the different options and seeing if I'm going to need legal defense or what's going to happen. But don't now. It's a holiday season. I want everyone to enjoy being with their families and the things that really matter to us on a daily basis and celebrating that. And If I have anything, Arnold, I'd love to come on and discuss it when I do. And I just wanted to say that, you know, you doing this show is your activism, you know, and I appreciate you for that. And all the people at COWS are really trying to contribute to the community. And I think that as things get, you know, a little more difficult to get things out, these small radio stations are really going to be serving the community and staying connected. So I'm glad that we have one already in place here.
Yes, so do I. It's fabulous, you know, with what's happening with the KPFA and Pacifica. We may be the last line of defense, these little community radio stations.
Right. I heard that there was, is that been passed or not? There was something up about the low-frequency radio stations in front of the House or Senate, was it?
Yes, it did pass by a voice vote today, actually. And
allowing the continuation of it.
Yeah, continuation. But there's a few people still a bit worried because there's certain little amendments and things that like commercial stations could like grow and kick out community stations in their place if they interfere with them. So it's not all good.
Oh, it's not a done thing. Did it pass the House and the Senate? Or?
I think it did, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I believe so.
Okay. Good.
And so, yeah, we'll see what happens, how they actually use that law. Again, it's how they use the law.
Right.
And who uses it.
Right, and who, you know, speaks up when they try to abuse the law, which is what we've seen so much in Sonoma County.
Exactly.
Well, this has been a wonderful conversation.
Thank you, Magic. I really appreciate you coming on, and we wish you the season's best, and just keep fighting for us, and just look behind. There'll be people behind you.
Thank you.
Working with you.
And I would like to just give out my blog. Maybe
yes.
I'll start writing something on that, but there is a book that I've written a review about that I'd like people to see called The Passionate Mind Revisited, and so my blog is www.magic, M-A-G-I-C-K, Tarot.com. By the way, that is what I do for a living, is tarot readings, and if anybody needs gift certificates, I have them.
Perfect gift.
Little plug for me.
Yeah, especially this time of the year with the new year coming up, it'd be good to have a look.
Yeah, and on that blog there is a reading for this year that we've just gone through that I do. I do a reading for the year once a year, and you know, for the world, a big picture reading, and that's also on my blog, and people might find that very useful. I think it's got a lot of insights that'll help people understand the process we're going through at this time.
Oh, excellent. I'm going to check that out.
Oh, great, Arnold.
Well, thank you so much, Magic.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Happy solstice.
And yourself.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.